I dreamed a dream lately.
You'll be a woman soon. If you call
I
that.
I am man. I am gay. I am white. I
yesterday night we became the beast. The other.
I wish I was invisible.
I wish I was invisible.
I wish I was a dark girl.
It's not always enough.
I am buff.
I am queer.
Don't make me. This was my idea. Who's making me?
An Englishman, an Irishman, and a Scotsman walk into a bar. The Englishman says, "What do you think this is then?" The Irishman says, "Is it a joke?" The Scotsman says, "Yeah, and one with a disappointing lack of diversity for 2021. A black woman, a Sikh man, and a gay man are invited to a meeting by the head of HR. The black woman says, "No straight white man. What do you think this is then?" The Sikh man says, "Must be a meeting about diversity." The gay man says, "Yeah. Or is it a joke?" None of us say it. That we think this meeting could maybe end up being a bit of a joke, because we're all good minorities who are grateful we're talking about diversity as a company, as a society, as humankind. Or maybe none of us say it because we don't want to rock the boat, and it's easier just to get on with these things for the benefit of office relations and ultimately our careers. Or maybe it's just easier to get it over and done with so we can get back to our actual jobs. I reckon we all kind of think it. That this meeting could wind up being painfully awkward and disappointingly pointless. The gay man certainly does.
"All right, Freddie. It's been a while since we've done one of these, eh?"
Rebecca works in the finance department. We've met at one of these things before. They're sort of like the UN. We each come to represent and speak on behalf of a whole subset of people. Well, it's like the UN, except we don't discuss nuclear disarmament in North Korea. We discuss diversity posters in the North Wing toilets. Rebecca's black, so she's here to represent the racial minority, and I think maybe working mums. Well, she certainly talks a lot about her kids anyway.
"I hope it's not a long one. I have to be at Jamie's World Book Day recital at 4. He's doing a reading. Oh."
She says it as if me and Jamie are well acquainted. I presume it's her son and not her husband.
"I try and leave a bit early most days anyway. I don't like going on the tube in rush hour. What with my back, you know."
Yeah. Literally no idea what she's talking about. "I don't think we need to worry about overrunning. It's company policy after all." Gurdeep, head of corporate marketing. He's Sikh. Here to represent race and religion, would definitely consider himself the leader of our mini UN if there was one.
"How's the flat, Freddie? You were just completing last time we spoke, weren't you?"
How do people remember these things? And what the hell am I going to ask him back?
"Good, thanks. Yeah, how's work?" "We're super busy over in Global B2B Marcom right now."
That's a shortening of corporate marketing that actually makes it longer. We do love an acronym around here.
"We'll definitely be hitting our SPF at least, if you know what I mean." "Right."
I don't know what he means. I presume not some protection factor. Then Rebecca asks the million-dollar question.
I wonder what this meeting's about, then.
And then I chime in with...
Ha! Probably another one of our revolutionary posters, am I right?
You can insert crickets here.
It's actually really exciting. Tina gave me the heads up. It will really move the conversation forward. Move the company forward. It's like blue sky thinking just got a whole lot more colourful.
Wow, sounds interesting. As long as it doesn't take any more than half an hour.
I nod politely, but I know, like always, this meeting will probably amount to nothing more than a lunchtime chat about LGBT plus rights, organised by me, chaired by me, attended by me, and the head of HR.
Hi all!
Speak of the devil.
Sorry I'm late. Is it just me, or are things busier than ever around here? But don't you just love being busy? Go, go, go. Just so, so busy.
Oh, Tina. Head of HR. Always, always flustered. She's drunk so much of the Kool-Aid. If you cut her, she'd bleed it. A woman whose proudest achievement, bar posters, is encouraging us all to take lunch breaks by putting a daily meeting in everyone's diary saying lunch at 12:30. She doesn't ever ask, have you had a lunch break? Or, have you got too much work on? But she will ask, have you accepted my lunch break meeting in your calendar? Yes, Tina's a martyr.
Can I just say, I'm so excited about this meeting. I can't wait to hear your thoughts on this.
Pity she never wants my thoughts on anything that isn't to do with diversity. No, Freddie. Don't be cynical. Be a positive, cooperative, chirpy gay guy. Hashtag this gay can.
This news is something that will really move the conversation forward. Move the company forward. Blue sky thinking just got a whole lot more colourful. About time too. Am I right, guys?
Are we meant to answer that? She is looking at me. I'll do a little smile. Not really sure why I hmmed.
I am thrilled, nay, honoured to announce to you today that we are hiring a new director with the job title Diversity and Inclusion Champion. DAIC, or as I'm already calling them, our dyke.
If I hadn't worked here for 3 years, I'd say she can't be serious with dyke, but I absolutely know she is. However, if we overlook dyke briefly, this sounds sort of different? Promising, even?
What will they do, Tina?
Well, I'm so proud of the things we've achieved so far, but we want more. I mean, look at what we did for Black History Month.
That was definitely mainly posters.
Our Bollywood booze up?
Definitely mainly cultural appropriation.
And of course, gay pride.
I can't even begin on that one.
What do you all think?
Did she even answer my question?
This is the sort of thing that can really push the envelope. Please pass my thanks on to all the directors. I think it's visionary.
Yeah, I think it's visionary too.
What do you think, Freddie?
Should I ask what they'll be doing again? Does that make me sound difficult? I should, though. Should I?
It's visionary. Yeah.
Sell out.
Good. So, Myself and the directors would love to get your insights into what sort of person you'd like to see take on this role. What is important to you as part of minority communities within our company? We have a short list of applicants already, but before we interview, we wanted to hear direct from you, the valued, diverse warriors we have in this office. Right. Let's do this. Does anyone know which cable lets me share my screen? Or is it Bluetooth? Why is every room different? It's amazing, isn't it? Technology.
Never say, let's do this, if you're not ready to do this, Tina. Fluster, fluster. Rebecca to the screen sharing rescue.
So, the first question is, what sort of characteristics would you most like to see in a diversity and inclusion champion? I've prepared suggestions to get the conversation started. Empathetic. Confident.
Wow.
Innovative.
Should I be happy about this? Should I feel included and respected and valued? Why don't I? Why don't I? How can I answer this question without knowing what they do? I'll have to ask again.
Sorry, Tina. What did you say they will be doing? They'll be here to, just sort of move the conversation forward. Okay? Good. So, back to the question.
Oh, she's literally reading from a script. Perfectly prepared PR. But she doesn't even know what it means. For all we know, they could just be someone to come in and put up the posters. It's like, I sort of want to say, why am I only being asked about this now? Didn't you want to ask us, your valued, diverse warriors, to help shape the job description? Or to work out if we actually need someone doing this job? If you want my opinion, ask me properly. And often. And confidentially, actually. But it's like, I also sort of want to say, why are you asking me at all? I don't know anything about how to decide who to hire for what. Or anything about diversity or representation, and I certainly can't speak for everybody. How can us three speak for everybody? I'm not the only LGBT plus person in this office, and although to my knowledge there are no T's or Q's or I's right now, there may be. And there may well be in the future, and what do I know about their needs? Theirs are likely to be greater than mine. Why'd you ask me to speak for gay? For all gay? For all the letters of the LGBTQQIAAP2 rainbow? When I barely know what some of them stand for? Because you don't want me to speak for them at all. You like me mainstream. You like me nodding along and saying, that sounds great, yeah. You want me saying, I'd say empathy is the most important thing. You're right, Tina. You like me not making life even a tiny bit complicated for you, Tina. For you, my organisation. For you, oh great powers that be. And, oh, Gurdeep's off.
I'd say empathy. It's going to be really important, Tina. Can you put a tick next to that from me?
Yeah, me too.
Really, Rebecca? Really? I was sure she'd feel the same. She must. I'm looking at her right in the eyes, and my eyes are screaming out, let's dig a little deeper than this, please.
Don't you agree, Freddy? I don't disagree.
Oh my God, did I just say that out loud? Why didn't I just nod? I don't disagree. Where do I go now? Full frontal honesty? What level of exposure can they bear? Because I'm not even close to bearing it all. My go-to is 2%. Dare I even take it up to 10? Or is that too extreme? Too outside of the box, outside of my small, permissible, poxy box? If I rose up and used it as a proud soapbox, what would happen to me then? My reputation replaced with the difficult one? The easily offended one? The militant one? It's so much easier to nod along. To keep it wrong. If I up that percent to 10, will they ever ask me again? If I speak my full mind, stray too far from the predefined, will I be sidelined? If I go off script, who decides then? The Englishman, the Irishman, and the Scotsman?
Okay. Freddy, so, you don't disagree? Yes, wonderful. Meaning what, precisely? It's really hard for me to answer a question about what qualities would be good for a role. I don't fully understand. What will they do?
Here comes the script.
They will be championing our diverse communities and ensure their needs are catered to. Your needs, I mean. Yes, and in your own words, what does that mean? Precisely. Tina's trying to help us, Freddy. I know. And the reason we're here is to discuss our helpful dyke, isn't it, Tina? Yes! Yes!
And seeing as you'll be doing the recruitment and the training, you should know all about the role, right?
Yes. Yes.
Did I mention Jamie's got his World Book Day recital?
Look, I and the company, we work very hard on these things. We've done Black History Month, we've done Bollywood, and we've done Pride. And now we're doing more. For you.
If she lists Pride as a success story one more time, I'm gonna blow. There's one thing I know, and that's that you've burnt me before, Tina. I'm only ever here to tick your box. Tick, job well done, Tina. But to do that, I must stay in my good minority box. I'm good at that. I certainly didn't speak up last time. That's probably why I still have a seat at the table. But not today.
I guess my reservations, and I understand you're not exactly asking for reservations, but I guess my reservations are that it will all be great for internal and external PR, but it could come to mean forms and initiatives and forms and lunchtime chat after lunchtime chat and endless, very well-meaning posters, but nothing more. Probably just more fairly pointless posters.
Yeah, I said all that out loud. Rebecca's now looking theatrically at her watch. Gurdeep's racking his brains for a company value to use to contradict me. Tina looks almost scared that we've gone off script, but little does she know. We're not even on 10% yet. You are not hearing 10%, Tina. You are hearing the flute when I am an orchestra. You are seeing the wig when I could serve you a kick-ass, dual-identity, gender-bending drag queen. You are feeling some dampened-down embers where there was once a full-on raging bonfire.
If you look at our company's values, Freddy, you'll know we are only one step along the road to greatness. So perhaps the dyke job spec isn't fully defined yet, but that will be the second step. Right, Tina?
Yes. It's that, exactly that. Good. What sort of second step, though? An honest, sincere step, or just another duplicitous box tick, but on a grander scale?
Not sure what duplicitous means, what I think it does, but fuck it, it's out there now.
I mean, Tina, why are we being asked to tick a box between empathy and confidence? And how can you be sure this person won't be just us, but with a fancier job title and a bigger, louder echo chamber? Summoned when the company feels the need for a minority box to be ticked, and asked to nod along in agreement to another PR-able policy or poster that will make the directors feel better about themselves. Will our Dyke simply be there to pat everyone on the back and scratch their itch, perform them favours to satisfy their minority fetish, before being rewarded with a pay rise in return? Will they basically be here to be carted out whenever needed and put on show? Okay, I think we're over 10% now. Gurdeep is in a state of shock. Rebecca might as well get some popcorn the way our mouth's hanging open. Tina looks like she might try and leg it to the right, leaving a head of HR-shaped hole in the wall.
Freddy, I don't appreciate you saying all that we do is posters. Although I am very proud of our posters. Some of them were, you know, groundbreaking. But look at our other achievements. Look at Pride. That was amazing. You can't deny that.
Yes, I can!
I don't know why I turned into Cat Slater. Drama in the diversity meeting.
Tina, for me, Pride was a nightmare.
What?
But you were on the radio, remember?
We still use that clip in presentation.
Oh, yes, you came hunting for me for the radio interview before the parade, didn't you? You wanted my lovely gay voice for the radio so you could tick that box, and I said all the right things because I was genuinely excited to be there. And then came the decision for who actually goes up on the float and who walks behind it. Obviously, you got a place on the float, Tina, and the CEO and the CMO, because clearly Pride means an awful lot to all the straight people if they have the right job title. And then who runs up to me? Ola. You know Ola, she sits next to me. And she said that you had asked her to go up on the float. And she said, yeah, sure, but could she bring me as well? And what did you say, Tina? You said no. Have you got anyone more diverse you could bring?
We had to make sure the float itself had a range of diversity, not just of sexuality, but also of race.
Yeah, well, I'm sure it made a great photo.
Never mind that yourself, the CEO, the CMO, Ola, and almost every other person up there painted a very pretty picture of diversity visually, but we're almost all straight. On Gay Pride. Do you know how many years I've been to that Pride parade and watched it from the pavement because I had no way of being in it? Every single year since I was 16. I went on my own when I was 16 and just stood petrified on Regent Street, pretending I was there to shop and gazing at it from afar. And since then, year by year, I've come to accept myself. I've come to join the party, to watch the parade with pride. But I've never actually managed to get a ticket to march in the parade itself. And finally, for the first time ever, I work at a company that has a float, and that day was going to be a symbol of the journey I've been on since 16. From ashamed and scared on the sidelines to truly, truly proud. And instead, it made me question the whole thing. The whole day felt hollow. I felt hollow. And I tell you now, it didn't make Ola feel great. She'd been plucked out of the crowd to be put on show because she's black. You carted my voice out for the radio. You carted Ola's face out for the photo. But it feels like you're putting us on show like some prime sheep at a farm rally. When we look or sound the part, we're best in show. And then you cast us aside straight after.
Fuck, that sounded way better in my head. But whilst we're doing weird comparisons, in for a penny, in for a pound.
It's like a game of chess, yeah? We're all just like pieces on the board, and it's you guys at the top who are playing. Everyone can see you're playing diversity chess. We're all meant to applaud, but you move us around and knock us down, and whether you win or lose, it's all the same to us. It doesn't matter if I feel like the queen or the pawn, because basically, you will always be...
Damn, I don't know any famous chess players. That's ruined my mic drop moment.
Look, I think what I mean to say is that I have a concern that this champion of diversity position and this meeting is going to be another example of a well-meaning initiative gone wrong. And I would like you to explain more about it first so I can help really make sure that doesn't happen this time. Pride turned out a bit shit from my point of view. You asked for my opinion. There it is.
Tina looks a bit like she could cry. But hey, you're human resources. This is me being human. Your meetings always come with an agenda. Even this meeting's question came with three boxes to tick. Empathetic, confident, innovative. But I'm here. I'm queer. And today, bitch, I'm an agenda bender. Oh. I wish I'd said that out loud. Except the bitch bit. We're not on RuPaul's Drag Race. I wonder what they're all thinking. Come on, Gurdeep. Let's start a minority revolution. And can I get an amen up in here?
It sounds to me like you just can't accept that you're part of the corporate world. This isn't a charity made personally for you. You got to walk in the parade, you got to speak on the radio, you got a fun day out with free food, free music. You benefit from all this. Nobody's forcing you. You're buying your flat whites and paying your flat's mortgage with this company's money, aren't you? Look, I used to work at an insurance firm. Over there, if I mentioned something like diversity, I'd have been laughed out of the place. Told to man up. This place is a dream compared to that. This company is doing amazing things. It's never going to be perfect. None of us are perfect.
And HR aren't perfect, Freddy. We are only one step along the road to greatness. If we are building a palace, so far we have only laid one brick.
That's one of our mission statements, remember?
So let's take this opportunity to lay another brick.
Oh, fucking hell, I'm drowning in the Kool-Aid. Is this Kool-Aid? Does Gurdeep actually believe this stuff? Okay, I'm going to try and speak their language.
Tina, can you define for me what that brick is? As you'll be doing the recruitment and the training, presumably, can you tell me, not off your script, in your own words, what does a diversity and inclusion champion do?
I mean, I can't seriously say, what does a dyke do?
It means we'll be taking a new step on our diversity journey. We'll be taking our blue sky thinking and moving it forward. Moving the company forward. Moving the conversation forward. Moving forward to where? To the future. 2022. 2023. 2024. 2025.
Forward to 2022? Is that groundbreaking or gibberish? I can't even tell anymore. Oh, Rebecca's back to clock watching. I'm sure she'd be on my side if I could just be more succinct and polite.
Look, I think I feel a little bit as if my identity is being branded by these meetings. It's been sanitized and structured for PR. You took part in Pride for PR. This meeting is for PR. We are PR. You might as well stick a pole up my arse and use me as a poster.
Okay, I forgot. Polite.
What do you think, Rebecca? Oh, well, I've got a bad back, so I didn't literally mean stick a pole up my arse. To be honest, you lost me at chess, Freddy. But in all honesty, what happened at Pride sounds really not nice. For you or for Ola.
And I have had that feeling several times before. Called upon as an example purely because of my race or my gender. Like I'm in a separate league somehow. Like I'm a great example of something within my demographic only. But not in the wider community, you know? So then I question if I'm there to make up a number or just to look the part rather than for being me. And that's horrible. It kind of makes you question your own validity. 100%. It's almost like a diversity performance. Yes, Rebecca! Fuck you, Gurdeep. But... oh no, Rebecca. Not but. Honestly, I just want a better world for my kids. I know that sounds cheesy, but it's true. And if this meeting and this champion of diversity person is one step towards that, then I'm happy to be a part of it. To represent. No, not just happy. Honoured. Grateful. As long as we can do it quickly. Grateful. No, I disagree. Why do we have to represent all the time?
For our families. And for ourselves.
And for the company. This is so much better than what other firms have. And you are coming out on the attack, Freddie. We need to work together, not against each other. Working together, I can do. Pretending we're talking about the big things when we're mainly talking buzzwords, I can't. It feels pointless. It feels hollow. Look where we've been in the past, Freddie. This has to be better than a time when minorities were ignored.
What more do you want?
I don't know, okay? I don't know. I would hope my organisation might know.
We all look to Tina. That ain't the face of a woman who knows. And if she doesn't know, how can I trust this new person who she's hiring will?
If you guys think everything will suddenly make sense because we hire a new person with a fancy job title, that's pretty naive. Naive. Or nice, Freddy.
Naive or necessary.
A black woman, a Sikh man, and a gay man are invited to a meeting by the head of HR. What happens? You get three different opinions, because that's what diversity is. I cannot be diverse alone, and yet I can. I am man, I am Brit, I am gay, I am white, I am twink, I am puff, I am queer, I am other, I am minority, I am majority, I am privilege after privilege. I am diverse within myself, and yet I am me, and I stay me. To others, my identity is theirs to choose, to paint with one brushstroke or tick with one box. I've been GBFF, I've been so fun, so outrageous, where a woman may be catty or shallow. And I've been pufter and homo, I've been bitchy and spiteful, where a straight man may be critical or insightful. Am I an identity or a category? Forms give me boxes. Rows and rows of hard square boxes, tiny and finite, and that tell me who I may be. I've been white, Caucasian, European, British and English. I've been male, I've been degree level educated, I've been employed, and I've been in need of financial aid. Am I an identity or a category? I've been homosexual, gay man, alternative, LGBT, LGBT+, LGBTQI, and QI+, and QIPPTIQ, and sometimes I've simply been other. Forms tell you that you are not you. That's their way. You are your label, your category, and there you must stay. Labels stick and boxes confine. My identity is categorized and supervised and sanitized.
It's simultaneously minimized and aggrandized. Because my label, my category, my poxy box cannot be large or fluid enough to define all that is me. Yet alone, it takes on meaning that is so much more than I can be. My box is fluid. Theirs are made to restrict. My box is jelly. Theirs are the mold. Even when my label is full of good intentions and celebrations, it still feels sticky. It's claustrophobic in this box, even when it's meant to be free. How can it be? That full of joy and brandishing their rainbow badge or email signature that they crush and compress and say, "Dance, gay boy, dance." Preferably in a feather boa to a Kylie CD. Am I an identity or a category? Looking back, what would I say to 16-year-old me? The me on the pride sidelines, who already knew he was other, who already knew to show less than 10%. He didn't want to represent, he just wanted to get by. He wanted anything but those molds for his jelly. What would I tell him? That being different in the corporate world isn't always easy, but it's so much easier than being different at school. Sometimes you're even applauded for it. Be it the promotion of diversity or a fetish for minority, it is one step better than where we've been previously. Or so it seems. I'd tell him, your difference keeps changing. Your difference is good, and your difference now has a voice. Because this is me. The contradictory, constantly questioning internal me. This is full frontal, stark naked, ass cheeks out and sitting on the table. Me. The full 100%. So within these confines of box after box, I must speak. I must speak or shout or scream for all the LGBTs and QIQs. I must speak for all those who cannot, all those who may not, for those who have withered long before and those who are yet to bloom. I must try to cooperate even when I'm feeling uncooperative. I must represent, although I am not representative. This voice must strive to speak for identities just as diverse as me. Identities that are even less likely to fit into your categories. So how can I help us all break free? Enough with hollow. Enough with wrong. Enough with nodding along. Enough with things that sound great. Maybe it's naive, nice, and necessary. And I don't have a perfect solution. And I don't expect you to either. But I have an idea. I'd like you to relook at the applications and call in for interview people who have CVs like you've never seen before. The ones that feel all wrong to you, that are ticking none of your boxes. This company sees me as it wants me to be seen, but I don't see myself that way. And it's quite likely that neither you or I see a champion of diversity in the way they should be seen either. So hire the most outspoken one, the one truly confident enough to rock the status quo, hire the person least in your image, in our corporate image. The one who makes you feel uncomfortable. And then Tina says, great idea, Freddy. I wonder how we can best make sure we do that. I'll talk to the directors right away. And then I feel enthused. And like we're actually creating positive change, and I say, yes, Tina! That sounds fucking amazing! Except that isn't what Tina says. She says, so, you said a really important word in there, Freddy. And that was confident.
And I totally agree. We need someone confident. Should I go ahead and put a tick next to that from you on my slide here?
So I don't feel enthused. And I don't say it's fucking amazing. I so want to say no, Tina. That sounds pointless. That sounds hollow. That sounds wrong. But instead, I say,
sure, Tina. That sounds great.
Good. So, next question.
And on we go.
You've been listening to Minority Fetish, episode 1 of Make Me, an audio drama series by Flugelman Productions. Minority Fetish was written by Mark Daniels and directed by Edwina Strobel, starring the acting talents of Christian Andrews and sound design and editing by Beth Jupe. Make Me is a 6-part audio drama exploring identity, the labels we wear, and the boxes we tick. To listen, follow @_Flugelman on Twitter and Instagram or find us on Spotify. I'm Hayley Ricketson, producer and creator of the Make Me series. Find more details about this episode and the series on Flugelman's socials or website, www.flugelman.com. Thanks for listening.